Hey, welcome back to PDX Food Stories. I'm your host, Mary Crow, and today on the podcast, we are looking at pears. Pears are just kind of at the end of their fresh season at the farmer's market. If you're still venturing out on Saturdays to the PSU farmer's market, you will find vendors with so many pear varieties, way beyond what you'll see in the grocery store. Pears are a huge, vast topic. We really tried hard to stay away from baking and just focus primarily on preservation and culinary use. Hope you enjoy. An Italian grinder that's very tasty. If you're an Italian grinder fan.
I don't know if I am.
I am.
Yeah. Oh, then you should get
it. He's like an Italian grinder. I don't know this about you.
Well, I like the things that go on it, but is this the show?
We're recording.
But I don't know about the vinaigrette.
Oh, it's good because it goes on the, it's just like a red wine vinaigrette that goes on the shredded, I don't think it's, it feels like it's Napa cabbage, but I don't think it is. It's shredded something. Maybe it's iceberg?
Because a lot of people don't know this about me, but I'm not a huge vinegar fan. So when Sarah started the hot sauce in the house, I had to be in the living room when she was in the kitchen because just the smell of vinegar makes me think about dying Easter eggs. Do you remember this?
I do.
And it took a lot of time for me to acclimate.
He was kind of a big baby about it, too, because he would, like, pull his shirt up over his face to walk through the house.
Yeah.
To be like, I don't like the smell of vinegar. And now, like, our whole house smells like vinegar always.
I'm just curious, did you have, like, a bad Easter egg?
It was just experience? The smell. I just didn't like the smell of the vinegar or hard-boiled
eggs. Did you not get a large Easter basket as a kid?
I know, I did pretty good with candy, but it was just that smell of, is it just distilled white?
Yeah.
That's so pungent.
Yeah, it was when I was, it was even before the hot sauce business, it was just when I was pickling a ton
just
at
pickling.
Home.
Yeah. But now there's so many different vinegars, and I've acclimated, or at least learned to deal with, being open to more flavors of vinegar. So
isn't
like
vinegar
rice,
a large component in your sauces?
Yeah.
Different types, though.
I'm having a problem getting the show started because I feel like you just told me basically that you don't like hot sauce.
That's what he doesn't like the smell of hot sauce cooking.
Now I do.
Yeah, because if you ever try to make balsamic glaze at home by yourself, it can, like, make your eyes water.
I'm so used to it, though, and I smell like it, too. I just went to the market, and the guy at the market was like, you smell delicious.
These are really not safe to say to a woman right now. I feel like
excited about it. I was like, oh, do it. He's like, I don't know what that smell is. And I was like, hot sauce? He's like, yeah, vinegar. It's hot sauce.
Raw onion. That's what I smell like.
Into it.
Well, welcome to PDX Food Stories, everyone.
Thanks. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody.
Yay.
So today we're talking about pears, which is a huge topic. I mean, really, I feel like we're like as basic as like, let's talk about water. I mean, there's so many places you can go. Like, pears are omnipresent, and the varieties, and the firmness. But where I want to start is, are you team apple or team pear? Do you like them both equally?
Oh, jeez. I don't eat fruit.
Confessional.
I
know.
I feel like when we started this, we're like, we love food, and now all that comes out every episode. Just so we don't like to eat.
I mean, but I love fruit,
right? Yeah.
But
you don't
eat
it out of hand.
I don't.
But even like, I feel like people are like, oh, you like bake with apples. Like baking with apples is way better than baking with pears. Or people are like, make pear butter. Don't make apple butter. Make pear butter. And I feel like, to me, these two are so interchangeable, but yet people really stand by like, apples only. Only apples and salad. Pears and crumble.
Yeah, I think I like them both the same. I wouldn't just eat either one of them on their own. Unless, like, my daughter won't finish her apple, I'll eat it just so I don't get rid of it.
I think having a daughter helps us eat more fruit because of that. She'll eat, like, one piece of the apple, and you're like, well, I don't want to waste it.
Right, so
I'll eat this. And then I remember, oh, I do like apples. I like especially Honeycrisp apples.
Yeah. Ooh, there's a new one. I just tried it, and it's a blend of Honeycrisp and something else. And my stomach just rumbled because I was thinking about it.
It's so good, though.
Your stomach's like, give me that apple now.
And give it to me at less than 3.99 pounds, which Honeycrisps are. Those are like gold.
Yeah.
But pear, I mean, I love juicy, juicy pears. Like, I feel like it's a treat in late fall and early winter to be standing over your sink with something that is literally like running down your arms and your face. Like, because that's summer to me. And, you know, once fall starts, it's...
Well, I think that's the thing I appreciate about both pears and apples is that, you know, with a lot of the summer fruits, it's like you have to eat the berries right then.
Yep.
And you can freeze them, but it's totally different. But the pears and apples kind of can hang out for a while.
Yes.
So even though, you know, you pick them kind of at the end of summer or into fall, they're still around in the winter and they're still really good.
Right.
So we use apples in one of our sauces and we can still get them now, get the Honeycrisps, and they still taste really good.
Are the apples raw when they go into the sauce? Or do you prepare them ahead of time? Like a certain style of preparation that then goes into the sauce. Like, do you make an applesauce from the apples that goes into
the
sauce?
No, we put them in raw and just cook them down with the peppers. Got it. Then they kind of disintegrate. But we use all of the skin and everything.
Yeah. My journey with pears when I was a kid, since that's what the podcast has become now. Let me
talk about your childhood experiences.
The first time I had pears, they were canned. So they're in a delicious sweet syrup.
Yeah.
And so I was like, these are amazing. And I remember when my grandma, Grandma Hoo-Hoo, had an Asian pear, and it was in that, like a net?
Yeah.
Like a, you know, it's in styrofoam,
like the styrofoam netting. Yeah,
and as a kid, I was like, what is this, like, prized jewel? Because I've never seen, like, really a fresh pear. And she took it out of the net, and I wanted the net, of course, to play with, as kids do. And she cut a piece of that and I bit into it and I'd never had that texture or that flavor before. And then I was like, well, what's the thing I've been eating? The slimy sweet thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, that's canned. And I was like, I don't understand. It's a big day for me.
I also grew up on canned pears. And my mom used to make this salad that I lived for, which was a whole pear half cut side down.
Mm-hmm. Don't say.
I will say.
Oh no.
Two little raisins as eyes.
Oh, that's cute.
A little maraschino cherry as a nose.
Adorable.
And then a slice of American processed cheddar unwrapped and cut into long lengths and little whiskers coming out the
side. That's so cute.
It's so cute. And it also makes my mom sound like she's not a great... My mom is a great cook, but my mom also was a working mom who had to feed children. So we ate a lot of things that came out of cans.
I love that. I thought
but
you were going to say
cottage
cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, God, too. No.
Anytime there's like this, the place in the middle of the fruit, I'm like, they're going to put a scoop of cottage cheese.
That would be a cute lunch.
Yeah, yeah. I will make that for my daughter.
But how are you going to make
I'll
it
carry
pookie?
That tradition on.
Yeah, I got to make a pookie, Dad.
I don't know. Maybe like a witch hat or something.
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
I mean, or you can just say it's a rat.
Yeah.
Instead of a mouse.
Or I'll just do like almonds and a little mouse so it looks like a vampire.
Oh, good idea.
She loves a vampire. Mm-hmm.
Derek makes really amazing spooky or pookie themed bento boxes for his daughter.
Yeah. I really like making lunch for my daughter. I like the idea in the middle of the day that she thinks about me for a second. It's very self-centered. but I'll take what I get. And she likes things that are spooky, but she can't at this point pronounce the S at the beginning of the word. Mm-hmm. So she says things are pooky, and it's adorable. And I'll be sad when she can pronounce.
Does she eat the whole lunch? That's what I'm curious.
She picks at it.
Because I make Ella's whole lunch every day. And most days it comes home pretty much full. I'm like, what did you eat today? And she's eating, like, everybody else's lunch. Or she'll get in line for hot lunch, which I find out because I get a bill from the school. And I'm like, why are you buying hot lunch when I have made you a lunch?
Yeah. It took, like, 3 or 4 times for her to tell me, I don't like peanut butter sandwiches.
Because
I thought I was putting so much jelly on there. And she's like, no, I like the jelly.
Yeah, just jelly.
But I just like the sweet stuff. I don't
just
want the peanut
jelly.
Butter. So, but if I do, She'll request a ham and cheese sandwich with both ketchup and mustard, which totally grosses me out. But I make it for her, and the more condiments I put inside that sandwich, especially when I shape it like a bear head where it's all sealed up like a little pouch.
Oh, yeah. She loves it?
She will, not much of it will come back.
Oh. Yeah.
But if it's peanut butter and jelly, just the ears. She's just eating the ears.
Leaving the center.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll make an effort, but I'm not into it.
No.
So that you should make the pear rat.
Yeah, I will.
Maybe with a little bit better cheese than sliced processed cheddar, though.
I don't know. She'd like
that. She likes that?
She'd like that. We haven't had it in a while, but.
Mm-mm. It does make good grilled cheese.
Mm-hmm. The best.
Yep. So I guess what I want to stay away from with our pear conversation is baking, because I feel like baking and pears and apples is like a whole book.
Well,
I'm sure there have been
since
books.
You mentioned it, I will say I don't like baked fruit. I don't like hot fruit. I know that this now sounds like therapy for me.
Whole fruit? Oh, or, I mean, I just like an like apple crisp?
And he won't eat like an apple pie, an like apple crisp. Okay.
My apple mother, bread. Amazing baking baker. Desserts and
yeah,
stuff.
So good.
And she would do like apple crisps and things. And I'm like, get it out of here. Come see me when it's berry season. I will eat a blackberry crisp for
really?
Sure.
Really? So you will eat apple, some, but baked apple. Yeah.
Apple pie. I'm just unnerved by the shape of this hot fruit.
I feel like, and this, you know, with pears, and I think it's true in any cooking application, whether you're baking or it's raw or you're pickling, is it comes down to, like, can the textures stand up once it's gone through whatever it's gone through? And baking is unkind when you are enclosed in pastry dough in a hot oven. I mean, who likes opening, like cutting into a pie and like water runs everywhere and the top deflates because you've used the wrong apple?
Yeah, or if there's certain apples that will turn really brown and ugly, like when you cook them down. And so that's kind of a bummer when that happens too. Like, I've tried to make applesauce for Adeline and just got whatever apples at the market somebody gave me. And then I cook them and it just looks like gross. So gross.
Or when people just core an apple and then put brown sugar
in it. My mom used to do that. I loved it.
What is this frumpy
thing? I loved when she did that. And she would put like cinnamon on it.
You weren't allowed sugar though. You would have eaten anything.
I think I would just like suck the brown sugar out of the hole.
I think childhood really is about getting sugar any way you can. Mm-hmm. Any way you can.
It's so true.
Yeah, so pears right now pears are, there's a few stands at the market. And one of the things I love is, you know, back to Dirk, your Asian pear experience. Yep. I mean, the first time I feel like you have a local Asian pear that's like the size of a racquetball compared to these softball size imported Asian pears. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, they're totally different.
It blows your mind. Mm-hmm. They're so good. They are like candy. Nature's candy.
Do you know any other varieties of pear? Like, can you tell the difference? I mean.
Well, what's funny is Asian pear, there actually are quite a few different varieties of Asian pear.
What?
But I can't name them off the top of my head. Yes, but I feel, I love pear. I love eating pears out of hand probably more than apples. I like to slice them real thin and eat a piece at a time. I don't know why. It's my thing. I don't like to eat, like, whole fruit. I like my fruit to be cut.
Yeah, I feel like that's how I...
Yeah. Yeah, that's
watching my daughter eat an apple, and it just makes my gums hurt.
Yeah, like, right.
That seems so unpleasant to me.
So, like Bosque is a good one.
Oh yeah,
the multi-purpose. I always
think of
Bartlett.
Anju,
also good. The one that I'm having a little trouble with is the Comice pear.
Whoa.
Very juicy, and I love that. But at the end, like, the tannins just dry your mouth out like crazy, and so. It's almost like you go back for another bite of the juice and then your mouth dries out and you're just caught.
Are
in
they
this
a little grainy
circle.
Too?
I think it depends.
Okay.
Sometimes.
I think the only times I've tried it, I was like,
yeah.
Kind of grainy.
I love a grainy fruit.
Yeah, he does.
It's super weird. I called them sandy apples when I was a kid because they were like gritty in their mouth. For some reason, that's what I was into.
All right, so I just want to make sure I understand.
Yeah.
No baked apples and pears.
Oh, get them out of here.
You don't even really actually like fruit, but you will eat a grainy apple.
When I was a kid.
When he was a kid.
When a kid, very different now.
I'd totally probably, different. I mean,
your taste of
nostalgia.
Well, sometimes like if I try one and I'm like, oh, this is grainy, and then I'm like, Dirk, you'll like this.
Yeah.
And he does.
So it's what about preserving pears?
Yeah, well, I have some, so, you know, with both, I know we're not really talking about apples, but apples and pears, I felt like there's a lot of canning recipes out there, and they're pretty basic. So I tried to do some kind of interesting things in the cookbook with pears. And so I did, it's almost like the idea of doing a poached pear, mm-hmm. but it's in sparkling wine. And then there's like a savory element to it. So I put some thyme in nice. There. And the thing with it is that when you're canning, the pears do hold up to the heat, but you don't really have to cook it first. So it's almost like you're doing a quick or like a pickle. Yeah, so you right. just slice the pears into slices mm-hmm. and then make this poaching mm-hmm. liquid and mm-hmm. then put it in there. And so then they still have some texture when they come yeah. out of the canner, which
nice.
Is nice.
Yeah.
So that's one of my favorite things to do with pears. And then also just a food waste tip is that when you are prepping pears to can, you can peel off the skins if you're going to, if you're not going to leave the skins on, and the cores, and you can cook it down in a pot for a long time and it makes like a natural pectin.
Yes, apples too, right?
Yeah, apples yeah. too, but the pears are almost a little bit better. Like I think they have more of a like, you know, more pectin in them yeah. than the apples. So they'll really make your jams and stuff gel more. So there's a...
Yeah, I feel like there's so many, like you could do, you can go savory, you can mm-hmm. go sweet, shrubs, you could make a pear shrub, the pear mm-hmm. butter, a pear kimchi again, like another yeah. kimchi treatment on
yeah,
pear.
Yeah, you see that a lot. And
I just want to, yeah, I
Dirk
just.
Needs to clarify.
So, apple and pear butters.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't get it. I hate them. I think they're disgusting.
What is the situation?
Well, I think they're always really ugly is the problem yeah, that I have with them. Like, they're, I mean, people just don't really want to eat dark brown fruit.
Right.
But it's not a
it's
butter,
not a butter,
right?
But it's not a butter. It spreads like butter because it's not jammy. It doesn't have, like, the tactile stickiness of jam. It's definitely not a jelly.
Right.
So it spreads like butter. I don't get it.
I don't understand.
But people love it on biscuits.
Yeah.
Well,
one of the chefs I spoke to has it like with a like a pork loin sandwich. Yeah.
Actually, so you know what? I bet apple butter would make right? a nice base in like a tart. An apple tart or a pear mm-hmm. butter and pear tart.
Yeah.
Chow chow is one of my favorite things. Chow
oh yeah.
Chow. My family's from the South, and so my mom has a chow chow recipe that I've made. And I love it. And it's one of my actual favorite things to put on sandwiches, even though my family's like, did you put chow chow on this? And I say, no, just eat it. It's great because you get like the sweet, you get the sour, you get a little bit of heat. I love it. And that's a great one for putting on top of like, even if you have it like with fried things, mm-hmm. like fried fish, fried chicken, fried shrimp. I'm thinking of a dish that I made with like, I did fried crawfish. And then serve that together as kind of like a little amuse-bouche.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It's very fancy.
Like the whole crawfish was fried?
Nope, just the tail. So you can buy crawfish frozen, the tail meat frozen, like in a block, and then it thaws out. So it's kind of like buying peeled shrimp, basically. Mm. And then you toss that in a little bit of cornstarch, potato starch, flour mixture, deep fry. It's like perfect crunchy.
And serve that with chow chow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes.
Have you tried the pear chow chow from the book?
I have not.
I think you'd like it. You could make. I mean, this yeah. would be the time to make it,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good time for pears.
Pearsies.
Mm-hmm.
So, how are chefs using pears?
Yes. So, first up, David Sapp at Park Kitchen. He's doing an Asian pear salad with curried lentils, papadoms, pistachios, yogurt, and mint. And it's another
that
visual.
That sounds so good.
Episode,
I love a pompadom.
I yeah. love pompadoms.
Yeah, absolutely. Why,
and
love
you know
it.
What? Only fried.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can't. You can't
bake it.
No, fried
get
only.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Super, super good. Beautiful dish. I'll post the picture maybe on the Instagram when it comes out. And then Sam Smith, chef over at Tusk, he's doing a salad with pear, sunchoke, urfa pepper, lemon juice, parsley, pepper, peanut, and blue cheese.
So,
blue cheese and pear, best
yeah,
bets.
That sounds great.
Yeah, back it up. What's a urfa pepper?
I don't know.
What?
I'm not sure.
You guys are my pepper authority.
I want to say it is probably more like a peppercorn. You know,
yeah.
like a
yeah.
some kind of.
Could we edit in a part here where we have looked up the whole
yeah, we can be like, an urfa pepper is
come
from the region.
We explain
yeah.
what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No idea.
No idea. Yeah, pear and blue cheese, pear and thyme. Yeah. Pear thyme, caramelized onions. Oh my gosh. Pear and pork.
Yep. These are all great pairings.
Heyo. All good ones.
And then the last one that I have today, and it's because of the pectin discussion that we just had.
Oh, yeah.
Vince Wen, that does Joliet,
pop-up
dinner. Check out his website for seatings. It's so he says he does something pretty cool with pears, and I got to agree. He soaks them in calcium oxide solution, which draws the pectin out towards the skin, which makes it so he can cook the pears longer, and then cooks them in a gingered syrup, and then dries them. And the result is that the center is soft, almost like a pureed texture,
whoa,
and the skin is slightly chewy. And then he glazes that with a syrup of strained yogurt sweetened with caramelized sunchoke juice.
My brain doesn't know what
to
do with
that. Yeah. I just
which makes me
want to
try it.
But I really want to see what this dish looks like.
Yeah, and I don't have a picture of that one, but here's the thing I love about that, is that he's talking about the process.
Yeah.
He's telling you why he's doing this elaborate thing.
Right.
And then sort of what the result is. So it's a really, I just really want to thank Vince for replying to such length.
Yeah.
Because it's so much and that, more helpful.
I mean, that's the thing. I like when people give us details, because it's like, that's something someone would never do at home. And so that's the reason you go there.
Absolutely.
You know, is to have these preparations that you wouldn't know to do, but you also probably couldn't really do.
Right.
Like, you need a skilled person to do something
like
that.
Well, and I think it's one of the things that the, like, ticketed dinners, like Noniguro or Joliet or Nomad, the reason there isn't, like, the ability for 1,000 people to go through that restaurant in a day, open 5 to 10, is because these processes sometimes take multiple days.
Yeah.
And when you go to them and you sit and you have that, you don't just have someone serve you the dish and they walk away.
Right.
The chef's right in front of you.
Right.
If you're like, what am I eating? He'll tell you this process, and you're just like...
Which I love that.
Yeah.
You feel so amazing. Mm-hmm. It's such a great dining experience, these dinners that people do.
Yeah. I'm still trying to envision a... chewy on the outside,
and the
soft on the
just
inside.
The texture, and Ryan Roadhouse does that too, or at Holdfast, where they're like, they're playing with textures, but they're still, elevating or highlighting this specific ingredient. They're not pretending it's something else.
Yeah,
they're just playing with like an element of it, so that when you eat it, you're having like a different experience.
Yeah,
but still being like, whoa, this is still pear.
Yeah,
it's just like completely different texture. And not grainy, unfortunately.
Not a grainy apple. Hmm. Also, okay, sorry, twice sunchokes. How do you guys feel about sunchokes? Last two dishes had sunchokes.
Yeah, I don't feel like I really know much about that. We'll get them from the market, and I'm like, I'll see a recipe, and it's like roasted sunchoke or something.
Yes,
and I'm like,
that's all I've
awesome,
ever
let's
known to
do this. And then I eat it, and I'm like, this could be anything else. Could be a kohlrabi for all I know. Is this one of those octopus?
Well, they're kind of like,
episode.
I mean, they can be treated like, I mean, how I explain them to people is that they're kind of like an artichoke heart. Yeah, but they're big. And so I pickled them. I sliced them thin, but even at Cannon Club, like nobody knew what it was.
Yeah.
No, people were like, I don't know. No,
I think
I
put them on
a
pizza when I got them from you.
Yeah. What'd you think?
To me, I feel like they taste to me like raw fingerling potatoes that have been really thinly sliced, because they have that almost like starchy
they're
quality.
Definitely starchy.
I don't know, I don't love them, but I feel like it's because I haven't like kohlrabi, I'm constantly like, I don't know what to do with you, and you're just gonna sit in my vegetable crisper until you eventually rot, and I'm like, whoops, that went bad.
Yeah. That happens.
Compost.
Sorry, some jokes.
Sorry guys, you didn't make it to cut this month.
Yeah.
Maybe we should talk about sunchokes next time, just so
we
can
should.
Tell people
maybe
what to
should.
Do with
Good
them.
Point. Good point.
Sounds like it'll be a short episode.
Okay, but so because pears are such a vast subject that we really only skim the surface on, I guess from both of you, I'd be curious, like, A, if you're going to use them at home, and B, if you're going to process them, what would you tell our listeners? Like, this is the time for pears, so you should do X.
I think make chow chow if you never have. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one, especially because you're going into the holidays.
Yeah.
And if you're going to can things, it's a great gift for people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Something that they can eat, you know, later on. Like the lunches for my daughter, they'll think about you when they're having those things. And that's a nice time.
That's a nice time. Yeah.
I like that. I like, I mean, for me, raw pear, like if you're going to put it on a salad or a sandwich for some crispness.
Ooh.
I like that action. Just thinly, you know, thinly sliced. I like it in a salad with some blue cheese. I'm kind of classic. Yeah.
If you see pear on a salad or a sandwich, I know you're going to order it.
Yeah. It's true. It's one of those words.
Like, he won't eat a pear, but if it's on a sandwich, he's like, I'm going to get this one. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, there was a place, I forget what it was called, over on Fremont, and you could build your own, and I'm a sucker for build your own anything. If I see it on the menu, I'm like, well, I'm ready for this.
Yeah, and then he ends up with a $19 sandwich.
I made a $19 sandwich. I kept adding things, and the lady was standing there just like, are you serious right now? I'm like, and blue cheese
challenge?
And pear and bacon.
Definitely
and
need
sriracha. Yeah, it was, avocado was on there.
$2 extra.
Mm-hmm. It was maybe four, but.
But I love that pear on sandwich. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I like that crispness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, well, thanks. Maybe stay tuned for a deep dive into sunchokes.
Maybe.
AKA Jerusalem artichokes.
Yes, let's think about it.
Maybe that's 2019.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, that's it. That is the show today. I hope you enjoyed. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with a new product to explore and a new PDX food stories. Thanks for listening.